Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now from London, England, is Graham Smith, the Campaign Manager and Executive Officer of Republic, a membership-based pressure group calling for the monarchy to be replaced with an elected head of state and for the adoption of a new Republican constitution. Graham Smith has worked full-time for the organization and has held the post of Campaign Manager since mid-2005. Republic represents Britain's estimated 10 to 12 million Republicans promoting the cause and also defending the right of Republicans to be heard. Thank you for joining us on Background Briefing from London, Graham Smith.
Thank you.
And I understand polls in Britain put support for the monarchy at about 70%. That would indicate that you've got a bit of an uphill battle there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we do have a job on to win this campaign, but you know, there's an awful lot of campaigns and issues and momentous events in the past that have started off as minority supported issues, and of course then became mainstream. So it can be done, and a lot of that 70%, of course, are actually not that bothered one way or the other about the monarchy. They simply, you know, they don't care that much about it. And so when pollsters ask them the question, they say, well, you know, why should I make any effort to change it? Why get rid of it? So, you know, there is quite a fertile ground there if we can get the campaign big enough and strong enough and loud enough to really get a big debate going.
And the current Lord President of the Privy Council, Nick Clegg, who's a part of the ruling coalition, he said that everyone is free in Britain to flourish and rise regardless of the circumstances of their birth. Now, I think if you have a monarchy and the Queen who's a head of state, how does he reconcile that?
Well, no, I mean, this is the thing. I think that what Nick Clegg was saying was an aspiration, and it certainly isn't a reflection of how it is in Britain. I mean, you know, there is, to some extent, some truth in it, but, I mean, we are quite a class-conscious society and an unequal society, and you know, the monarchy is at the height of that, and underneath the monarchy, the next few layers of you know, privilege and wealth do have a great hold on the levers of power, and so, you know, people at the bottom of the pile occasionally get to the top, but it's a fleeting visit rather than a significant shift, you know, in power from the across the classes.
Well, Thomas Paine, of course, the intellectual author of the American Revolution, argued three centuries ago that a hereditary ruler makes no more rational sense than a hereditary dentist.
Yeah.
But and it's I guess in terms of the work that you're doing, first of all, with your organization Republic, the Camden Council forbid you from closing off a street in Covent Garden for a party in conjunction with the royal wedding.
That's right.
And what's any recourse there?
Well, we'll be taking it up with them after the weekend. But I mean, we did persuade them to give us an alternative venue. It's very much not quite as central, but I mean, it's not that far away from the original venue, but it's not quite as central. But I mean, the reason why they did that was because of lobbying from a commercial landlord in the area, and also from a handful of very vocal local residents. And it was really down to prejudice against who we are, and you know, we don't think that's really acceptable. But you know, we do generally, as a culture, have free speech in this country, and quite a lot of tolerance for diversity of opinion. But when it comes to the monarchy, then it really is a different matter, and there is quite a lot of hostility from certain sections, not from the majority, but from certain sections, when we speak out.
Well, there has been some support, Graham Smith, of course. The Observer endorsed your Republican aspirations, right? The weekly newspaper.
Yeah, absolutely, and you know, there is a fair amount of support in the country for what we're doing. But I mean, and certainly among certain sections of the media. But you know, quite often the sort of more establishment media, including the broadcast media, does take a very pro-monarchy position, and it does become difficult to get that message across to a wide audience.
Well, Graham Smith, again, campaign manager and executive officer of Republic, a membership-based pressure group, calling for the monarchy to be replaced in England with an elected head of state and for the adoption of a new Republican constitution. The coverage over here in the United States might well be more sycophantic than the coverage there in Great Britain. It is extraordinary to see this country that fought a revolution to get rid of the monarchy so slavishly embrace every minute detail of Prince William and Kate Middleton's nuptials. It is relentless, I have to assure you. Just in terms of, though, political reform, given what you're up against there in England, I take it there's some talk about ending the male primogeniture. And also the discrimination against women, of course, in royal succession, and the prohibition of an heir marrying a Catholic. They're free, of course, to marry a Satanist, a Scientologist, or a Jedi Knight, but they can't marry a Catholic. So where does that stand?
Well, I think it is a lot of talk. I think that certain politicians are talking about it, and the Prime Minister recently kicked it into the long grass. They don't really want to do it for one very simple reason. It would require a debate in our parliament, and they are terrified of that kind of scrutiny on the institution, so I don't think that's going to happen. Of course, it's not very logical anyway. I mean, why should, so we don't discriminate against women in the succession, but why should we discriminate against the youngest children? Why not, why is it going to be the eldest one? So when you start unpicking all those sort of logical question marks, then, the whole internal logic of the system just starts to fall apart, which is, I think, why they don't really want to revisit that question anytime soon.
Well, as benign as the monarchy is portrayed, and having a kind of symbolic role as opposed to an active political role, that's not entirely true, is it, though? I mean, first of all, everybody in the armed services in Britain and in the intelligence services swear an oath of loyalty to the Queen, not to the government, don't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And all of our members of Parliament also, we elect them and then they turn up at Parliament and swear an oath of allegiance to the monarch. And there is a limit on what they can say in Parliament about the monarch. But, I mean, you know, she does technically, I mean, it's a bit of a paradox here that she does technically have considerable power. She can, if she wishes to, sack the Prime Minister and either choose not to replace him or replace him with anybody she chooses in the country. And, you know, she can dismiss Parliament should she choose to. Now, she won't do that because she knows that that would result in the end of the monarchy. So, so she instead simply hands over all her powers to the Prime Minister. Now, some people say, well, that makes it okay then because the Prime Minister is elected, but it doesn't make it okay because it concentrates enormous amounts of power in the hands of one person. In terms of domestic political power, our Prime Minister is far, far more powerful than the United States President. There's no real check on what he wants to do at all. The head of state is not independent of the Prime Minister. She does what she's told by him. And our Parliament is almost entirely under his control too. So, and of course, Parliament has no limits on its powers. After all, we don't have a written constitution. The Parliament draws its power from the Crown, which is this ancient institution which has always been sovereign rather than our citizens. The Parliament can pass any law it wishes. You know, the only limits on it are political limits, whether it can get away with it politically, and self-imposed limits, treaties with other countries or with the European Union, or laws such as the Human Rights Act. So, you know, and all of this deeply undemocratic structure hangs off the Crown. The Crown is the central institution in the Constitution, and the monarch and the royal family and the wedding are all used as a way of deflecting attention from that that serious lack of democracy and of creating an obstacle to serious reform.
Well, it would seem the fact that the both former leaders of former prime ministers of Great Britain were both excluded from the wedding. Gordon Brown and Tony Blair were not invited. You say she doesn't have the prime minister has the power. Well, maybe this is her revenge, is it?
Well, maybe it is. I don't know. I mean, she's invited John Major, the prime minister before Tony Blair, and of course, back in the 90s, John Major was very good to the Queen. He allowed her some very lucrative financial arrangements that were kept secret but were very exclusive just for her. So, for example, she was excused inheritance tax when her mother died, thanks to John Major. So perhaps it's a bit of a thank you to him to be on the invite list and a bit of a snub to the other two, whilst also, of course, we're inviting despots and dictators from the Middle East, who we're supposedly supposed to be encouraging the populations to rise up against them. So, it's quite a questionable set of values that these people have.
Well, when you say, though, Graham Smith, that the Queen could sack the Prime Minister but wouldn't do it, that did in fact happen in Australia with the Australian Prime Minister Gough Whitlam. And yeah, a lot of people in Australia are still smarting from that. I mean, they did actually have a referendum on becoming a republic, and unfortunately, the referendum was poorly drawn and favoured the monarchists.
Yep.
And one of the flaws in it was that they didn't want to, the Australian people to vote for a head of state, rather than have, they wanted it appointed. And of course, the theory was, well, if the Australians were able to vote for the head of state, they'd vote for Kylie Minogue. But frankly, you know, what's wrong with Kylie Minogue?
Compared to
Queen Elizabeth, you know. So that's, but address that if you will, because that was in many ways a lot of people think that was a coup. They're, you know, partly blamed on the CIA, but also Buckingham Palace had a role in it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think that it was a lot more to do with national Australian politics at the time, and you know, the opposition were obviously quite keen to bring the government down and use the opportunity they had. But I mean, you know, I think that it is symptomatic of the fact that the system is wrong as much as the hereditary principle and the fact that the Queen is the head of state, because the system gave the Governor General that power to take that action. In a way which was, quite frankly, questionable. Now, I mean, the key thing is that maybe you would continue to allow the head of state to have that power to sack the Prime Minister, but the head of state then has to be accountable for the decision that he makes, so that you can then democratically get rid of him should he make a deeply controversial decision, as Kerr did back in the 70s. So, you know, I think it is very symbolic of what's wrong with the system, and I'm sure that it really galvanised Republican sentiment in Australia and led to the following decade and a half that led up to Paul Keating declaring it's time, you know, time to be called on the monarchy in Australia. And it is a great shame that the opportunity was lost in 1999.
So, in terms of this idea of trying to reconcile meritocracy with aristocracy, and the inherent contradictions there, what is it about these young royals that's so appealing? I mean, I remember seeing years ago a kind of what would be called a reality show with them all romping around and playing silly games.
Yeah.
And it sort of made me think, why are the British taxpayers subsidising these feckless, spoiled kids who clearly aren't doing anything with their lives? What's the sentiment vis-a-vis Prince William and Kate Middleton? I take it she's at least had a job, hasn't she?
Well, she did, yeah. I mean, not much of one, and I think she's now retired at the age of 28. So, you know, I think that, you know, what happened in the 80s and 90s was a bit of a wake-up call for the royal family, and sort of since the turn of the century, they have invested a lot of money and expertise in their press office and in their management of their PR, and they have very tightly managed, as much as they can, the image of Prince William and his brother. And I think that has made, I think they've been quite successful in doing that. So he looks less feckless and slightly more endearing, I guess. I mean, obviously, also he's serving in the RAF, which helps his image to some extent as well. But it is all down to PR. It's all down to tight management of their image, and I think that it might actually backfire because they've actually made him incredibly boring as a celebrity, and I don't think he's really, you know, firing up the imagination. So, you know, I think that if they didn't tightly manage it, then they would, as they were in the 80s and 90s, be exposed as a rather unappealing family that really don't have much of a role for themselves in the real world.
And, of course, we've seen we've had the scandals involving the ex, Fergie, as she's called, soliciting money for meetings with her ex, Prince Andrew, who I understand is the Queen's favourite. And Prince Andrew himself was recently revealed that he has a friendship with a U.S. billionaire and convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. He also apparently entertained leading members of the deposed Tunisian regime at Buckingham Palace. And, of course, Andrews was very close friends with Saif Gaddafi, the son of the hideous Libyan murderer. So, who, by the way, shot down, blew up a plane over Britain, you know? Sorry, I was going to say, I wanted to add that Gaddafi blew up a plane over Britain at Lockerbie. So, what's going on here? I mean, is there any sanctions on this spoiled brat?
I mean, you know, the thing is that obviously the family itself has a vested interest in protecting itself, and they close ranks very quickly. There's no real mechanism for exposing them to greater scrutiny. I mean, they're completely excluded from our Freedom of Information Act. And the government of the day always wants to protect it as well, not because they necessarily like the family. I don't think they necessarily do. But it is in their interest to protect it because they, A, enjoy the power of the crown, and they don't want to risk that. But also, B, they feel that it's too much trouble and it's going to blow up in their face if they allow the scandal to break out. So there is a kind of a mutual embrace between the royal family and the government to ensure that the family is protected from any serious kind of scrutiny. And that, I think that's quite shocking. I mean, the press in this country do go after these people. But when you speak to these journalists, they do find it very difficult to really get to the bottom of these stories, and so it's difficult for these stories to gain traction and for people to really find out the truth behind these sorts of stories. And you know, I think that there is a lot more there behind these stories, and I think that it does show that that these people move in some fairly questionable circles, and I think that's really a great shame on Britain that we continue to allow that to happen.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today in Los Angeles, Graham Smith.
Okay, thank you.
Again, Graham Smith is a campaign managing executive officer of Republic, a membership-based pressure group calling for the monarchy in Britain to be replaced by an elected head of state and for the adoption of a new Republican constitution. Graham Smith has worked full-time for the organization and has held posts of campaign manager since mid-2005. Republic represents Britain's estimated 10 to 12 million Republicans, promoting the cause and also defending the right of Republicans to be heard. We'll take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with a British comedian about the royal wedding.